You're listening to the Texas Standard.
But it was no mere hour and 22-minute TV drama last night, dramatic though it was at times. And we hasten to note it wasn't the only executive update on the state of our government either. A bit earlier in the day, Governor Greg Abbott also addressed lawmakers at a Capitol building a bit closer to home, ticking through a string of issues he wants them to address in their biennial 140-day session. On this Wednesday, if we are to be the good, informed citizens we want to be, what are the takeaways from these two performances? Here to help us out, two people who know this stuff inside and out. Jay Iyer, professor of political science at Texas Southern University. Professor, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thanks for having me.
And also, Abby Livingston in Washington, D.C., where she is bureau chief for the Texas Tribune. Abby, good to talk with you again. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me as well.
Let's begin with an issue that came up in both speeches. It was interesting, I thought, that the president began talking about bipartisanship. He talked about the progress with the so-called First Step Act on criminal justice reform. But then he took a sort of a hard turn talking about the flip side, I suppose you might say, immigration, taking a very hard line. Let's hear what he had to say.
Now, Republicans and Democrats must join forces again to confront an urgent national crisis. Congress has 10 days left to pass a bill that will fund our government, protect our homeland, and secure our very dangerous southern border.
Abby, I have to ask you, did you notice how he kept punching that word crisis on the border?
Yeah, and I also looked for the word wall, and it came up several times, too. I think he spent, my colleague Julian Aguiar reported he spoke about the wall and immigration for about 14 minutes. So, that's where we are. What is different about this from other State of the Union speeches that I've watched is that the clock is ticking. We just got through the shutdown. We are 10 days, as he said, away from another one. Those days are going to fly by, and there just doesn't seem to be any sense of the resolution. And I don't think last night moved the ball forward very much.
I thought it was interesting, Jay, that he was talking about in the run up to this speech. He kept mentioning to I think it was on Twitter, the need for a human wall. And there wouldn't need to be one if there were an actual physical wall. And during that State of the Union, he suggested that he was going to be sending more troops to the border. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, I did. I did pick up on that, and I think it's interesting. The speech itself was constructed kind of oddly. It looked to me a little bit of that the original version of the speech was cut and paste pretty aggressively by the president, because you had some weird bridges in there that sort of affected the flow. But in some ways, to me, it sounded as if he were giving it for a campaign or convention speech, not a traditional State of the Union. But I would agree with Abby. There was no sense of urgency in terms of the need to come up with a resolution quickly. The thing that struck me, though, was that he was trying to, in some ways, lay the predicate for a use of national emergency funds by continuously pounding this notion that there is a crisis to try to elevate the issue. I suspect ultimately what he's going to do is what he's done on numerous occasions, where he has a minor tweak and sort of declare victory, not unlike what he did with NAFTA.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. What something that I thought was rather interesting, and comparing it with the approach that Governor Greg Abbott had on the border issue in his address, his own state of the state a little earlier in the day. Let's hear what he had to say on the border.
Listen, I know that everybody in this chamber has long waited for the day when Texas would not have to provide any more funding to secure our border. And yet, the federal government still has not fulfilled its responsibility. As a result, I am once again asking that Texas step up and fully fund our border security program.
You know, Jay, I thought for a moment there he might be a full-throated sort of, a full-throated endorsement of the wall that we might hear from Greg Abbott in the run-up to the president's own speech. But instead he talked about Texas's own border security program, which is what exactly?
Well, back in 2015, and here's the irony of it, because we're talking about the border as a current emergency situation. Back in 2015, in the start of that legislative session, two sessions ago, he made working on border security a priority item in his State of the State back then. We've spent upwards of about $800 million in the budget the last two bienniums on border security. We have a continuous presence there in terms of National Guard troops. Mm-hmm. We have supplemental support stations in and along the border. And since 2015, you've actually seen reductions. So in an odd sort of way, the work that's been done in Texas in some ways undermines the central argument that the president is making.
I want to go back to another argument that the president made about the wall. He pointed to a very well-known city out west and devoted quite a bit of time to it as an example of why there's a need for a wall. Let's listen.
Now, immediately upon its building, with a powerful barrier in place, El Paso is one of the safest cities in our country. Simply put, walls work and walls save lives.
Abby, he spent quite a bit of time talking about El Paso, suggesting that there was a correlation between the wall, which I believe went up around 2008 or 9, if I'm not mistaken, and a precipitous drop in violent crime in El Paso.
Yeah, and the El Paso Times did a great fact check on that. And what they put forward was that the crime rate in El Paso began to fall in 1993. That's the same case for most American cities. There was just a nationwide decline in crime for many, many reasons. And that it took 15 years for that wall to be built, and that to draw the crime rates correlation with the wall was not accurate in the view of the El Paso Times. And several members of Congress from Texas took issue with that. Veronica Escobar did. Joaquin Castro, after the speech, spoke to one of our reporters, and it's a pretty sensitive issue.
As much as we've been spending time talking about a crisis and an emergency at the border, I want to turn to what Governor Abbott was talking about as he used the term emergency. Let's listen to what he said in listing off some emergency items for the Texas legislature.
So to keep this momentum going, I am declaring school finance reform and increasing teacher pay as emergency items this session.
Jay, different sort of emergency, I suppose, at least as defined by the governor. What does emergency item mean in this context? And didn't we know these were priorities already?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing. This is a different Greg Abbott, certainly different than what we saw in 2015 and 2017, and certainly in terms of not just priorities, but just the tone and style of the speech itself. It kind of harkened back to kind of how old Rick Perry and George W. Bush, much more of a meat and potatoes kind of speech. But the significance of the designation is that it allows the items to be taken up within that 60-day window of time. So essentially what it is it's the governor laying out specific priorities, and he listed out school finance reform, teacher pay raises, property tax relief, working on school safety, the disaster response, and helping our mental health programs. These are all really sort of bread and butter issues. And I think the kinds of things that really speak to the Republicans' recognition that they need to win back suburban voters mm-hmm. in Texas.
I would just reiterate that. I am hearing that at the state level and the federal level, that we got the message. That is the exact language I'm hearing from roundabout grapevine Republican sources. I think we're going to see a very different U.S. Senate campaign with John Cornyn. Democrats are targeting five more incumbents. They picked up two this past cycle, five more U.S. congressional seats. Like, we are talking Republicans are no longer terrified of their primary. They still may well be, but they've now got to contend with general elections. Mm. And I think that's why we're seeing this tone.
Abby Livingston is Washington, D.C. Bureau Chief of the Texas Tribune. Jay Ayers, Professor of Political Science at Texas Southern University. Thanks to you both. We certainly do appreciate you taking time to speak with us on The Standard.
Thank you.
Thank you.